You read in verses 1 through 10. First Peter chapter 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, come unto him as a living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but who are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now who have obtained mercy. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. And welcome Matthew Abitello back to our pulpit to bring us God's word.
Good morning. Once again, I bring you greetings from Reformed Presbyterian Church in Duanesburg. And it is great to be able to be back and worship with you and to be back so soon. It was only 2 weeks ago. But what a difference 2 weeks makes. It was below zero, and I think today it's above freezing. It feels warm. And we prayed for Pastor Gregson for his recovery, and he is here with us this morning. Praise the Lord. So what a difference 2 weeks makes. But it could seem like a long time. So let me remind you, last time when I was here, we talked about the renewed strength for those who wait upon the Lord. That was a divine strength that God gives his people that wait upon him in his goodness. And today, we want to talk about another aspect of God, the things that God does in his goodness as a divine deliverer, and how that encourages us to seek the Lord. So I invite you to turn with me to our Old Testament scripture reading this morning, which our lesson will come from. It's Psalm 34. And as you're turning there, let me define a little bit what I mean by that idea of deliverance that we're talking about. A divine deliverance. If we look at an Old Testament example of the word, we see that it is a rescue, a securing, a pulling you out from danger or trouble. So it is God doing the delivering. In fact, the word is used in the Old Testament for a time when two boys were fighting in 1 Samuel. And the words were there was no one there to break it up. There was no one there to deliver them, to pull them out of that trouble, that fight that they were in. So we're talking about God pulling us out and rescuing and securing us this morning. Well, then let's look at our psalm, Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. We've heard God's word. Shall we pray? Father, in your presence, we now ask that you would enable us to hear a message directly from you through the preaching of your word. Help us to listen well. Grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words. Fill us with understanding, with a greater understanding of your gospel, with an understanding of the riches of your divine gifts, and the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. Father, equip us to joyfully keep your commandments, to do your will, that we might experience your blessings and mercies for our good and for your glory. Amen. I want to make a couple comments about Psalm 34 in general. It's an acrostic poem in Hebrew. And we know what acrostics are like. Have you ever learned, maybe children learn the alphabet? A is for apple. B, they're going down the line in order of the alphabet. How about the musicians? Do they use, does E, every good boy deserves fudge, mean anything? It's a good way to remember things. Or for the mathematics people, please excuse my dear Aunt Sally to remember the orders of the operations. Acrostics are a helpful way to memorize things. And this psalm would be a good one for all of us to memorize. It was composed for a reason. It has a purpose based on David's experience. We're dealing with a well-thought-out poem with an important message. And so we need to look at and know about some important background information about this. Most of your Bibles will have this in Psalm 34 at the top. It has a title note. It says, of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out and he went away. And so David is going before an Abimelech, a king of the Philistines, a leader of the Philistines. So let me turn your attention to that story. I'll read just part of that story. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. And in verse 10. So David is on the run. He's in danger for his life. He's fleeing from an angry King Saul. And here is what we read of this. And David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. And David took these words to heart and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them and he pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gate and let spittle run down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought me this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? And he was delivered. David departed there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul, gathered to him. And he became their leader and continued being their leader. And so David was delivered. He escapes and he recognizes that God helped him and freed him from great danger. And he likely made this psalm, Psalm 34, about this experience. And he encourages others to seek the Lord as he did, at recognizing that divine deliverance that God provides in his goodness. And did you hear towards the end the people that went out, those that were in distress, in debt, and bitter in soul? Can you imagine that scene? Just as the Lord used this to encourage the people in the cave, this psalm has been preserved for us in our language, and God wants to use it to encourage you this morning. So I want to draw your attention again to verse 4, Psalm 34 and verse 4. That'll be an area of focus for us as we look into the psalm. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So an outline of God's message for you this morning would be that there is a need, the need for divine deliverance should encourage us to seek the Lord. The need for divine deliverance should encourage us to seek the Lord. And we want to look at that from the psalm in three ways. First, the need for divine deliverance. Secondly, that the effect that it has, the encouragement to seek the Lord. And then finish with some practical ways we are encouraged in the psalm to seek the Lord. The need for divine deliverance, the encouragement to seek the Lord, and some practical ways to do that. So first, let us consider your need for divine deliverance. It really starts with thinking about David's testimony of deliverance in the psalm. We've already heard his experience in the cave when he was fleeing from Saul and was preserved from the Philistines in Gath. And we hear it right in the beginning of the psalm. We sense it in his tone. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Magnify the Lord with me. He calls others to praise God with him for the divine deliverance he experienced. And because of that, this, because of verse 4, when he sought the Lord and what happened, he wants others to hear about it, and he praises God. David was delivered from dangers by God among foreigners in the Philistines. And what's incredible about that is many years later, one of the gospel writers, John, he would recognize it as pointing to Jesus. David's experience pointed to Jesus' experience. So let us consider next Jesus' deliverance, what we might call the greater David, his testimony of deliverance. If we look in the psalm, drop down to verse 19, verses 19 and 20. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. And so, years later, the Apostle John, an eyewitness to Jesus' death on the cross, in describing this event, cites this psalm in his gospel. In chapter 19, John 19, 36, he writes, "For these things took place that Scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken." And so we observe David's deliverance as a type of Christ's deliverance. a type of Christ. John tells us that Jesus is this greater David. Just as David was delivered, so Jesus was delivered from death after dying on the cross. And so this is serious. Can you see the significance and the power of divine deliverance? The deliverance that David experienced is most fully realized in Jesus' deliverance from death at another cave, a grave in Jerusalem outside the city where the stone was rolled away. Death was defeated. And those in distress and those people in debt and bitter in soul can go to him for deliverance. Praise the Lord. Just as David was delivered from danger in a foreign land, the Lord Jesus Christ was delivered from the dangers in his foreign land, away from his heavenly home, among us on earth, among fallen humanity, dying but rising again. And when we think about fallen humanity, we think about the effects of sin. It should point us to a need for divine deliverance. So we must talk about our need for divine deliverance. We all need divine deliverance, first and foremost, for salvation, for forgiveness of sins, for eternal life. And we need divine deliverance throughout the Christian life. Why is divine deliverance needed for salvation? Because of sin. God's word tells us that we are born as enemies, at enmity with God. That is, as an enemy of God. And committing of sin, as our confession tells us, that lack of conforming to God's law, the transgressing, the breaking of God's law, has the ultimate penalty. In sin, we are in the ultimate danger. But there's good news. You can be delivered from the dangers of sin, from the estrangement and having God as an enemy through Christ, by the grace of God through faith in Christ. Divine deliverance for salvation. But this divine deliverance is also needed in the Christian life. Because the life of a disciple, the life of following Christ, of being a Christian, is not a promise of no problems. In fact, quite the opposite is promised. Through many tribulations we enter the kingdom of God. Are there challenges you are facing this week? Are you in need of divine deliverance? You can be delivered from the dangers and the fears of those things by God's grace. And that is what David was encouraging his people, and God encourages us this morning to know the same. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is a divine deliverer. Scripture is full of people being delivered from trouble. How about Jonah, delivered by the great fish? Daniel, from a pit of lions. Paul and Silas, from a prison cell. Can you think of others? Scripture is full of those promises of deliverance. And so David wrote, "I sought the Lord, and he answered me," right here in this psalm. But in another place, in 2 Samuel 22, he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." A rock, fortress, and a deliverer. So having looked at the need for divine deliverance and what we mean when we're talking about that, let's look at this response, the effect of divine deliverance. It encourages us to seek the Lord. And what is seeking the Lord? What kind of seeking are we talking about? The first thing that might pop into your head, children, might be seek, hide and seek. We're talking about when something is missing, I need to go find it. But that's really not the kind of seeking we're talking about. We're talking about knowing that someone can be found and requesting help, aid, protection. And specifically, we're talking about requesting that from the Lord. triune God and sovereign of the universe. Now, sometimes we don't feel that well. A lot of people have been sick. We've been hearing about that. And you know, it's okay. I can just rest, take some medicine, and be fine. But sometimes, maybe you know you need to seek medical help. It's something more. And you need to go to an expert and get help. Well, so it is in the spiritual life. We can't do it on our own. When we are challenged, when we realize our weakness, we need to seek the Lord. We need to seek Him with all our heart. And we can request the aid, the protection. You can request the deliverance of the living and triune God of the universe from your troubles and from your fears. In fact, Scripture is filled with God promises to those who seek Him. It's not just one place that we find this. Here in the Psalm is a powerful way to do it, for sure. Here again, verses 8 and 9. I'll read through 10. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. O fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. This psalm was often used in early church history at the Lord's Supper because it talks of taste and see, and that experience is most relevant and certain when we think about the Lord's Supper. But it talks about that we can experience God Himself in relationship, that He is real. It's not just something we study, although we study a lot, but it is an experience of the divine. In fact, one commentator said, this verse teaches us that God is not only a subject to be studied, but He is a banquet to be enjoyed. Not just a subject to study, but a banquet to be enjoyed, both of those. But in contrast to the picture of a banquet with plenty of food and abundance, David writes about young lions desperate for food. The picture here is of young lions roaming the safari. Maybe you can think of it if you ever watched those shows, children, about lions in Africa and their constant search for their next meal and strength, and they get weaker and weaker and they have to press on, but they just can't do it. The young lions will suffer want and hunger. The most powerful animals, wild animals brought to weakness because of lack of nourishment. And so they eat, but the desperate cycle on those shows starts up again all over. They're looking for their next meal. We can be reminded of the promises of God. If you seek Him, you will be nourished. If you seek Him in His Word, you will be nourished. If you seek Him in prayer, you will be nourished. The Christian will not lack spiritual nourishment. You will lack no good thing. This is a great contrast against our own sinful human nature, isn't it? We have a nature prone to self-sufficiency and tempted not to depend on God, to do things our way, do things on our own. But depending on God, we don't go it alone, and the Lord is present with us. This is how it was for one of the Old Testament kings, one of the kings of Judah, in the days of King Asa's reforms, when they were looking back to the Lord. The prophet Azariah said to King Asa in 2 Chronicles 15:2, "The Lord is with you while you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you." And so here is a great promise, but also a great warning against that self-sufficiency. Seek and He will be with you. Forsake and He will forsake you. For David, in his experience, in his life, the answer, it's a no-brainer. David encourages us to seek the Lord. So I want to spend the rest of our brief time this morning looking at some practical ways that we see in the psalm to seek the Lord. I'll mention four ways that the psalm encourages seeking the Lord. Encouragement number one, primary, seek God's Son. Seek God's Son. We seek God's Son through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll recall we've already talked about the deliverance of Christ from death. But Christ's deliverance is freely offered by his grace to you this morning as you trust him. I had a professor talking about this psalm that described it this way. All of the benefits held out to us in this psalm are ours because of Jesus Christ. Jesus tasted the bitter cup of God's wrath in our place so that we might taste and see that he is good. Seek God's Son. That's the first encouragement. Have you done that? Are you doing that? The second encouragement is to seek God's glory. To seek God's glory. Those kids may be memorizing the shorter catechism. We get this right away. The purpose of life. Glorify God. Enjoy him forever. But we all need a reminder of seeking God's glory and not our own. We heard that in the first three verses of this psalm. That call to worship. That call to witness. David shares his experience with others. And so we seek God's glory through our worship and our witness. Through our worship, the psalm and God this morning encourages you to praise the Lord continually, to be focused on his greatness, his perfect holy character, to praise his name. And we don't have to wait to do that. We're doing it this morning. One Puritan pastor said, if we hope to spend eternity praising God, it is fit that we should spend much of our time doing that here. Seeking God's glory by worshiping him. But secondly, also through our witness. David invited others to join him, to worship together. And that's what we do in corporate worship, in encouraging one another. Magnify with me, exalt his name together. That was David's experience. And he wanted to share it. He wanted to boast on what the divine deliverer had done. And he wants other people to be strengthened, to hear and be glad. So worshipers not only tell God of their gratitude, they tell God in prayer, but they also tell others, seek God's glory. Encouragement number three, seek God's guidance. Seek God's guidance. We seek God's guidance by asking for his blessing, for his direction, for his assistance in good times and bad. The quickest thing we can do is probably think of seeking him during the difficult times. We need deliverance from this affliction, this trouble we're having. But the reality is we need his guidance in good times and bad. I recently met a couple that were mountain climbers. They climbed high peaks throughout the world. And most of the time, as they were learning it, they went on their own and they learned on their own. But there came a few mountains where they needed to hire a guide. The terrain was too difficult. The elevation being so high, the path that you take being so difficult, that they needed to hire a guide to take him to the top of these great peaks. And life can be like that great terrain, and we can seek God's guidance to take us to where he is bringing us. Are you seeking God's guidance in your life, in the good times, and especially in those challenging ones? Maybe there's challenges at work, or challenges at school, challenges in family relationships. even challenges in how can you best serve the Lord through the church. We can seek God's guidance in these things. And you have a great guide in the Scripture, empowered by the Holy Spirit. You have pastors and elders, and we have the council of brothers and sisters in Christ. We have many resources for guidance. We have to use them. And it's encouraging to think that nothing is too small to take to the Lord, but nothing is too great for Him to be able to guide us through it. He can guide us through it. So seek God's guidance. Well, we've talked about three encouragements where we look to the Lord and He provides it. And then we've talked about seeking God's Son, God's glory, and God's guidance. The last one is one that we have to step in, and as we are sanctified, we have to work, seek godliness. We don't have time to look at the whole psalm in such detail. It's a pretty long psalm to do that this morning, but I encourage you later this week or at another time to look through the rest of the psalm, where David's testimony of deliverance becomes instruction and teaching for others. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. You hear that, how David's testimony turned into teaching and instruction based on the fear of the Lord? We're told to guard our tongue, to turn from evil, to do good, to seek peace and pursue it. That pursuing peace is an amazing picture. The word reminds us of pursuing it aggressively and actively, to chase it like one chases an enemy. Think about those lions we just talked about and how they pursue their meal. We're encouraged to seek peace that way. But isn't that so different from what we normally do, what we actively and aggressively go after? We're tempted to be active and aggressive about how we're right, about the things that we're fighting against. But we might be timid about making peace or admitting we're wrong or reconciling with others. And here we're encouraged to flip that around and actively and aggressively be peacemakers. So we seek godliness when fearing the Lord. We obey Him, obey His will, obey His word, and seek peace and pursue it. It serves as a reminder this morning that there are responsibilities, great responsibilities, that come along with the privileges of Christian life and deliverance from God. And it's our response, not so we merit anything, but out of gratitude, out of our thankfulness for divine deliverance, that we pursue Christ-likeness, holiness, righteousness. So we need to grow in godliness, seek godliness. We've talked about the need for divine deliverance and how it encourages us to seek the Lord. We saw divine deliverance in David's testimony, in Christ's testimony, and in the believer. We've thought about seeking the Lord. And we've looked at some practical ways. I'm sure you can think of others, but I hope the list gets you started. The need for divine deliverance encourages us to seek the Lord. May we do that this week and always. Amen. Thank you.